What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. I'm going to get to some audio. I watched this thing. I pulled audio, right? I was slaving over a hot mic. Actually, the mic wasn't on, so it wasn't a hot mic. But it was a board, okay, and digital editing equipment. And so I did that for hours on end. And Dan Nabbit, I'm going to play this audio. Okay, but first let me get Ken on. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, hey, Pete, great show. Calling from the Blue Ridge Parkway, so I apologize if it breaks up. I just wanted to bring up a perspective that I haven't heard talked about. I agree with all the comments around Joe Biden. I wouldn't trust a man to drive a car on the road with the rest of us, too old. On the other hand, I was watching it with my 13-year-old last night, and she looked at me and she said, "Dad, are these both really the best and brightest that America has to offer?" And I started to apologize to her on behalf of my generation. I'm 50. But then it occurred to me and her that it's not actually my generation.
It is not. No, you bear no responsibility.
And octogenarians that just will not let go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's very frustrating. Like, we Gen Xers, I remember reading, there was a book called Zero Hour for Generation X. And the author had relayed a similar story, and he was having some conversation with some millennial, and they were like, "Oh, Gen X, yeah, aren't you the generation that that doesn't have a president?" It's like, well, yeah, I mean, we're kind of, because that's what's probably going to happen next, is some millennial's going to get the gig, you know? We're just going to get bypassed. Although, maybe, no, I guess Obama counts as, well, he's, I don't know, he may be tail end of the boomers, or maybe, I don't know. I don't know if he counts as Gen X. But it's not, Ken, I appreciate the call. It's not, look, I've called this election the geriatric rematch. And I think last night proved the point, particularly at the very end when they were arguing over their golf handicaps, right? Let me get to some audio. It opens up. They introduce the two candidates one at a time. They introduce Joe Biden first. He walks out and he's almost like ready to greet a cheering crowd. And then it's like, yeah. Well, here, this is how it started.
"President Biden, inflation has slowed, but prices remain high. Since you took office, the price of essentials has increased. For example, a basket of groceries that cost $100 then now costs more than $120. And typical home prices have jumped more than 30%. What do you say to voters who feel they are worse off under your presidency than they were under President Trump?"
"We got to take a look at what I was left when I became president, what Mr. Trump left me. We had an economy that was in free fall. The pandemic was so badly handled. Many people were dying. All he said was, 'It's not that serious. Just inject a little bleach into your arm. You'll be all right.'"
Okay, that's a lie. He never said that. Right, so all the people, by the way, one of the deflection points for the left and the media, but I repeat myself, has been, "What about Donald Trump's lies?" That's like, wow, Joe Biden looked like every bit of 180 years old. And they're like, Joe Biden's fine. But let's talk about Donald Trump's lies. That's all they want to talk about, is all the lies that Donald Trump told. But Joe Biden told lies too. So if that's disqualifying, then it's disqualifying for both. And we're at square one again. So now, which one of these guys did a better job last night? Look, Donald Trump did better in that debate than I think I have ever seen him do in a debate. I don't want to say he was disciplined, but he was more disciplined than I have ever seen him, except on The Apprentice. But that was edited, so I don't know. But he could have done so much worse. We've seen him behave way worse, right? I know this isn't exactly an endorsement here, but I was as surprised at how well and Trump stayed on his messaging, and he seemed focused, he seemed disciplined, and I was as surprised at his performance as I was at Joe Biden's. I expected it to be bad. I did not expect it to be this bad. And when he walked out and this was the first thing he did, this is the first thing he said. The first word I wrote down in my notes was horse. What is up? You didn't do any red leather, yellow leather, sibilous. You didn't do any warm-ups or anything? You didn't you didn't clear the throat? Nothing? You just walked out there cold? Is this peak performance now? Because this is quite the drop-off from just 6 months ago, right? All right, he continues.
The economy collapsed. There were no jobs. Unemployment rate rose to 15%. It was terrible. And so what we had to do is try to put things back together again. And that's exactly what we began to do. We created 15,000 new jobs. We brought out the position where we have 800,000 new manufacturing jobs. But there's more to be done. There's more to be done. Working class people are still in trouble. I come from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I come from a household where the kitchen table, if the things weren't able to be met during the month, it was a problem.
What? He is racing through. You get the pacing here? He's like racing through these things and he's leaving out parts of the point, right? He's leaving out parts of the sentence. He had the kitchen table where things couldn't be met. Like, so he's like, I know what he's trying to say because I've seen Joe Biden's stump speech for, 20 years. This is the standard stump speech, kitchen table issues, sitting around the kitchen table, mom and dad trying to make ends meet. These are the issues that affect people's lives. Like I've heard the actual well thought out and delivered lines. That is not what we're hearing right now. Now, think about what that means. Lines that he has delivered for decades, he is now unable to conjure up and regurgitate. He cannot deliver them now. He couldn't do it last night. But he's got a motor mouth going. The pacing is off. It's too fast. He's racing to get through whatever this thing is, whatever these lines are, and he's not able to even get through the lines. He's ahead of himself. And he doesn't know it.
Price of eggs, the price of gas, the price of housing, the price of a whole range of things. That's why I'm working so hard to make sure I deal with those problems, that we're going to make sure that we reduce the price of housing. We're going to make sure we build 2 million new units. We're going to make sure we cap rents so corporate greed can't take over. The combination, what I was left with in corporate greed, is the reason why we're in this problem right now. In addition to that, we're in a situation where if you had to take a look at all that was done in his administration, he didn't do much at all. By the time he left, there were things were in chaos. Literally chaos. And so we put things back together. We created, I said, those jobs. We make sure we had a situation where we now, we brought down the price of prescription drugs, which is amazing, to $15 for a insulin, which is $400. No senior has to pay more than $200 for any drug, all the drugs they can include beginning next year. And the situation is and we're going to make that available to everybody, to all Americans. So we're working to bring down the price of around the kitchen table, and that's what we're going to get done.
Thank you.
So we're looking to bring down all the prices around the kitchen table. Like, again, I understand what the lines are supposed to be, and those are not the lines. Trump responds here.
And Trump?
We have the greatest economy in the history of our country. We have never done so well. Everybody was amazed by it. Other countries were copying us. We got hit with COVID. And when we did, we spent the money necessary so we wouldn't end up in a Great Depression, the likes of which we had in 1929. By the time we finished, so we did a great job. We got a lot of credit for the economy, a lot of credit for the military, and no wars and so many other things. Everything was rocking good. But the thing we never got the credit for, and we should have, is getting us out of that COVID mess. He created mandates. That was a disaster for our country. But other than that, we had given them back a country where the stock market actually was higher than pre-COVID, and nobody thought that was even possible. The only jobs he created are for illegal immigrants and bounce-back jobs, a bounce-back from the COVID. He has not done a good job. He's done a poor job, and inflation's killing our country. It is absolutely killing us.
I like the term bounce-back jobs. I had not heard that before. He said it multiple times last night. I think it's a great term to describe what Joe Biden is taking credit for, which is like, I created all these jobs. They're bounce back jobs. These were jobs that were destroyed because of the lockdowns. And then they came back. You don't get credit for creating the thing that you just destroyed, you know? And then Biden responds and makes an outrageously false claim here.
He's the only president other than Herbert Hoover who's lost more jobs than he had when he began, since Herbert Hoover. The idea that he did something that was significant. And the military, you know, when he was president, they were still killing people in Afghanistan. He didn't do anything about that. When he was president, we were still find ourselves in a position where you had a notion that we were this safe country. The truth is, I'm the only president this century that doesn't have any, this decade, that doesn't have any troops dying anywhere in the world like he did.
He's the only president of the century or decade, not really sure where he's starting the clock on that, but maybe you could look at your watch, Joe, like you did at the tarmac when the soldiers' bodies came back. Remember that? You were checking your watch, see what time it is. Was that during your presidency? Oh, it was. What about the 13 soldiers who died in Afghanistan at the airport, at the Abbey Gate? Did they count on your watch? You were president. That was your withdrawal. And by the way, kudos for Donald Trump hammering away at that, as he should. As he should. It's a flat-out lie. A flat-out lie. But Trump's lies. All right. Joe Biden is now in Raleigh, and he's shouting at some clouds. Let's join it in progress.
Hit a 50-year low. There's more to do than 50-year low.
By the way, all he's doing is screaming slogans off of a teleprompter.
And then I pointed out that the only convicted criminal on the stage last night was Donald Trump. When I thought about his 34 felony convictions, his sexual assault on a woman in a public place, is being fined $400 million for business fraud. I thought to myself, Donald Trump isn't just a convicted felon. Donald Trump is a one-man crime wave.
All he's doing is feeding the Democrat base the red meat. They just love calling names.
Trials coming up.
Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up. Lock him up.
Time for that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're trying to. They're trying to lock him up.
The thing that bothers me maybe most about him, he has no respect for women or the law. He doesn't. And then, his biggest lie, he lied about how he had nothing to do with the insurrection of January 6th. We all saw with our own eyes. We watched it on television. We saw thousands in his direction attack the Capitol. We saw police being attacked. The Capitol being ransacked, the mob hunting for Speaker Pelosi, gallows literally set up for Mike Pence.
Oh my God, they were like the size of, like, they were like 4 feet high gallows. They could not even hang anybody off of them. It was a prop. You got, all right, I'm okay. Like, oh my gosh, the stuff. These people live in a fantasy land. They're fabulists or fabulists, like just. He said it last night. He did the thing about, oh, yeah, the Charlottesville Nazis and all of this. Fine people on both sides. Again with that lie. There's a term for it. I saw somebody posted it. I forget what the tactic is called now. But Nancy Pelosi, I could probably find it. Nancy Pelosi described it in a press conference that she did a couple years ago at the Capitol. Like her, you know, speaker's briefing or whatever that she did, and she would do regularly when she was speaker. And she talked about, I'm trying to pull it up now. I will find it. It's in my feed because I retweeted it. And she describes the tactic wherein you make the smear, the press reports it, and then you cite those press reports as proof of the smear and its veracity, even though you were the one that smeared first based on nothing. And that's what the what Losers and Suckers Lie was about. That's what The Very Fine People Lie was about. That's the thing. Like, when I first heard those stories, and now I have learned, when I hear these, you know, statements that are attributed to Trump, I don't report on them. The first thing I do is I go and I watch the original context. Show me, not the cheap fake, show me the whole clip. And when you watch the whole clip, you see, oh, he definitely rambles. Donald Trump, he's his own worst enemy on this stuff because he does these flights of ideas and just bounces all around. And, oh, that's how he talks about sharks and stuff. But when you look at what he said, particularly on Charlottesville, that, like, it's very clear who he's talking about, and it's not the neo-Nazis. He was talking about the people that were there opposed to the tearing down of historical statues. The Nazis came out of the forest afterwards, according to Joe Biden, which I didn't know that. Apparently that's a thing around the city of Charlottesville in the woods outside the town. There are a bunch of Nazis lurking. They live in the woods, and then they come out with tiki torches or something. It's very bizarre. So anyway, he's in Raleigh. He's throwing the red meat out to the fans. And so that's what it sounded like. And I'm sure now people will say, why couldn't this Joe Biden have been on the stage? Well, here's why. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's got teleprompters, and he has an audience, right? He didn't have any of those things going for him last night. So let's just hope he's not taking any meetings with heads of state during international crises at 1 in the afternoon without a teleprompter or a crowd. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us. You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Alrighty, so back to the audio from last night. Very early on, things did not go well. I think Joe Biden improved. Not to say he did a great job later on, but he did improve as the night went on. He got a little bit better. His voice kind of got a little bit stronger because he started off with a very weak and raspy, hoarse voice. And he was, but he remained, you know, constantly off topic. He would not finish his thoughts. He would not bring home a point. He was constantly confusing millions with billions and trillions. He was getting the numbers wrong. He got confused on one of the I guess this was the second question, and he ends his answer with a really odd statement, which then Donald Trump, dare I say it, pounces or seizes on this odd statement.
We have 1,000 trillionaires in America.
1,000
billionaires.
Oh yeah, billionaires. 1,000 billionaires.
What's happening? They're in a situation where they, in fact, pay 8.2% in taxes. If they just paid 24% or 25%, either one of those numbers, they'd raise $500 million, billion dollars, I should say, in a 10-year period. We'd be able to wipe out his debt. We'd be able to help make sure that all those things we need to do, child care, elder care, making sure that we continue to strengthen our health care system, making sure that we're able to make every single solitary person eligible for what I've been able to do with dealing with everything we have to do with. Look, if we finally beat Medicare.
Thank you, President Biden. President Trump?
Well, he's right. He did beat Medicare. He beat it to death, and he's destroying Medicare because all of these people are coming in. They're putting them on Medicare. They're putting them on Social Security. They're going to destroy Social Security. This man is going to single-handedly destroy Social Security. These millions and millions of people coming in, they're trying to put them on Social Security. He will wipe out Social Security. He will wipe out Medicare. So he was right in the way he finished that sentence, and it's a shame.
It was painful to watch. Cringeworthy, uncomfortable, made me feel bad for him as a human being, you know? He just completely lost his train of thought, and it happened repeatedly last night. We have to, we beat Medicare. What? That doesn't even make any sense. On a question about the Idaho abortion case at the Supreme Court, that that ruling came down yesterday, Biden then makes some sort of a pivot. He pivots to immigration, and he references Laken Riley, the Georgia student that was murdered by an illegal immigrant. He doesn't name her, but he pivots to that. Like, what are you even talking about here?
And that's this idea that they're all against it is just ridiculous. And this is the guy who says the state should be able to have it. We're in a state where in 6 weeks, you don't even know whether you're pregnant or not, but you cannot see a doctor, have your, and have him decide on what your circumstances are, whether you need help. The idea that states are able to do this is a little like saying we're going to turn civil rights back to the states, let each state have a different rule. Look, there's so many young women who have been, including a young woman who just was murdered, and he went to the funeral. The idea that she was murdered by an immigrant coming in, they talk about that. But here's the deal: there's a lot of young women are being raped by their in-laws, by their spouses, brothers and sisters, it's just ridiculous, and they can do nothing about it, and they try to arrest them when they cross state lines.
Thank you.
What? What are you talking about? See, again, I know what the point he was attempting to make was probably about. It was probably the line that you hear from Democrats whenever an illegal immigrant is arrested for the rape and murder of some American, and people point out that this victim would still be alive if it were not for the Biden administration's border policies. Democrats usually respond with some sort of a defense that includes a reference to, well, lots of, you know, Americans are raping other Americans too. Like, that makes it okay. Like, you know, it doesn't really matter because, you know, women get raped all the time by American citizens. What's that got to do with this one case? So you're saying rape is okay? No, we're not saying that's okay. So then what are you saying? Well, we don't want you to look at that case. We don't want you to look at this incident because it reflects poorly on Joe Biden and the Democrats' policies. He then tries to defend his immigration policies, prompting what some commentators dubbed Trump's line of the night.
What I've done since I've changed the law, what's happened? I've changed it in a way that now you're in a situation where there are 40% fewer people coming across the border illegally. That's better than when he left office. And I'm going to continue to move until we get the total ban on the total initiative relative to what we're going to do with more Border Patrol and more asylum officers.
President Trump?
I really don't know what he said at the end of that sentence. I don't think he knows what he said either. Look.
Look, honestly, this is what I mean. I got to give Donald Trump credit because, like, that is twisting the knife in a way. Like, I'm almost of a mind here that Donald Trump is learning. That Donald Trump is actually learning how to do this, right? How to engage in these types of debates and stuff in a better way. Like the whole, you know, can't teach an old dog new tricks. I think like that, I think you might be able to. Look, I was joking about it yesterday that he's, you know, running around, he's doing all these rallies and stuff, and he's trying out his material like a comic does. You go to all the comedy clubs and you test out your material before the big Netflix special so you get your stuff honed, you know? And I think like that has helped him because he goes and he does the rallies, he does interviews, he's, you know, constantly doing this stuff. And it allows him to work on his material. And then he gets there last night, and I think the format helped him. There was no cheering audience, so he wasn't playing to the crowd. And whereas lefties were all like, oh, he's not going to be able to perform because he doesn't have a screaming crowd. It's like the iron law of woke projection. They're guilty of that which they accuse you. Watching Biden at the rally in Raleigh, which I think is, he just wrapped up. He was up there screaming at a teleprompter, basically. And the crowd ate it up. That's where Biden performs well, apparently. You just got to stick him on a stage, surround him with, you know, barking seals, and tell him what to say on the teleprompter, and he can deliver well enough to make people believe, just for half an hour, that he's completely in control of his faculties. But stick him on a stage with no notes and no audience, not so much. Let us go to the phones, and here is Jim. Welcome to the program. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Yeah, I watched last night, try to help CNN's ratings.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
But the most interesting part, Pete, was after, you may already have discussed this, after with all the panelists' viewpoints and presentation and all, and they had Axelrod, they had the creme de la creme of these people.
Yeah, Van Jones, yep.
I guess he was. There was a black male and female, both I think newscasters, very prominent.
Well, that was Van Jones, former Obama staffer, and I think Abby Phillips. She's a CNN correspondent, I think.
Okay, but without an exception, and there was a total of about six or seven of them, including Axelrod, they all were totally negative on Biden's presentation and what he said, the whole bit. There was only maybe one or two little, what I thought were positive comments.
Yeah.
Universally. So what if, I mean, you don't, this doesn't happen. I mean, they don't ever criticize Democrats. Even when they're horrible, they don't criticize them. So this is, to me, just an amateur observer, this was the final killing off of the 50-plus year Biden regime, basically moving him, getting him ready to move on out. That's what this represented, in setting the stage for his replacement.
Right. I think because the reaction was so universally negative, and it lines up with what we already saw, and we're wondering, why did it take this performance for you to realize how bad Joe is? It makes you wonder, were you like ignoring it on purpose? Were you lying about what you were seeing because there was some other grander plan in the works? There's the natural question to ask.
Well, this, using CNN, and of course CNN needs all the help it can get. You've already spoken about that numerous times. They're in trouble. They were more than willing to be the accomplice that says this is going to be our final and primary public display of killing off Joseph Robinette Biden forever.
Right. Or Jim, the, and I appreciate the call. It's that they really didn't know he would perform that poorly. In which case, that's an indictment on their ability to do their job, right? That's like, that's literally what you're paid to do is cover this stuff. And if you were so unprepared for what you saw on that stage, that's an indictment on you and your network, right? That all of these people had the same sort of reaction. Jake Sherman from Punchbowl News. He's a contributor for NBC and MSNBC as well. He says, I've had a lot of conversations in the last 7 hours with congressional Democrats. Their sense is not that this was a bad debate. It is much worse than that. In their view, Biden didn't even clear the lowest bar. They may agree with him on policy, but Biden wasn't even able to articulate what his policies are. For Democrats running down ballot, this is an incredibly serious problem. Now, what else can we infer from this? If Democrats who are in Congress saw that debate and were struck by how poorly Joe Biden performed to the point where they're like, oh my gosh, we got to pull the ripcord. Does that mean that they're not meeting with President Biden very often? They don't see him. They don't talk with him. They don't talk with people who do talk with him. Like, how has it not gotten back to them? Right? It just seems like maybe there's a cocoon. And I understand, you know, the White House bubble and all of that. But, I'm trying not to jump to conclusions here, but it seems like he has been wrapped in a bubble, he's in a cocoon, and they are keeping everybody away from him. That's what it seems like. Let me go over to Earl. Hey, Earl, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hey, how you? Hey, I saw the debate last night, and even though Biden had a bad night, I still cannot muster myself to vote for Trump. When he said the black job, I gave the black job. That closed any door that I had left for him.
Yeah, he was talking about immigration and how illegal immigrants are taking the black jobs and the Hispanic jobs, I think is what he said.
What is a black job?
I don't know. I was thinking the same thing. No, look, I understand the point he's trying to make, which is that when you look at the data, entry-level positions that are taken by generally people in lower socioeconomic status, they're the ones that are getting screwed, right? Because they cannot compete for some of these entry-level jobs or low-paying jobs. And that is disproportionately impacting blacks and Hispanics. But the way he says it, yeah, it's a terrible way to phrase the to phrase the point. But and that's Trump, and that's what you're always going to get with the guy, you know. And that's that's a problem. It's always been his problem. Earl, I do appreciate the call. I got to run. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.